The Blood of the Writer. As the silent seconds dance in their eternity about me and set aflame again the fire to inspire my nimble fingers to procure the pen and awaken it in a resurrection, transforming the ink to the blood of the writer. As once again he bleeds his acquired wisdom like a light into the world.
Hey, you! Yeah, you, listening to the radio. This is straight from Broadening Your Horizons, Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, with your host, the multi-talented Claudio, written and spoken word artist extraordinaire, master storyteller, visual artist, master chef, and stage manager to the stars. We're on the radio. And now, here's that venerable veteran of verbiage, Claudio.
Good morning. I'm glad that venerable verbiage wasn't all mine. Good morning, Jean-Paul.
Good morning.
Hey, I want to let you folks know we've got one dinger of a show happening today. We've got Clay McClinton coming on in a few minutes. He's going to give us a ring.
And some fabulous music.
And some incredible
fabulous
music.
Tunes.
I know he won't like me touting this, but he is the son of Delbert McClinton. I can't help but believe that that's a jingle worth mentioning. I do want to give a big shout out to the Carolina Theater of Durham, one of our underwriters, as well as Cabin or Studio in the Woods. I keep going to that Cabin.
Studio in the Woods.
John Demers, who's tuning us in, independent film. Thank you for your support. And today we're going to fly pretty much straight into the Clay McClinton interview, him telling us about his life. We've got a few songs we're going to float at you from his past albums. I think he's in the process of putting out three new albums.
Is that right? Three at the same time?
Right. And the tunes we're going to play a little later on into the conversation will be Texas Memory, which is actually a song about Clay's life. Also, an audience favorite, known as The Man I Wanna Be. And then Howlin' at the Moon, which he wrote with his dad,
Delbert. That's a John Paul favorite. I really like the groove in that tune.
Yeah. I like all of that music. It's sort of a, I want to say, and he may scold me for it, sort of a cross between honky-tonk, rock, and folk. That's kind of the way I see it.
It's really actually quite eclectic, you know, when you hear and you try to analyze all the stuff that's in there. It's really full of stuff.
Which is kind of my middle name anyway, even though it begins with an O. Oclectic.
Oclectic, yes. Cloudy Oclectic, yes. Nidrock.
It's funny because John Paul asked me what the CON stood for when I initialed the program book this morning. I said Claudio Oswald Nidrock, not con job.
Yes, I was trying to figure that out. I just didn't know for sure.
So what are you working on these days, John Paul?
Well, my driveway. I put the crush and run down on the driveway and got that all freshed out. And now I'm going to put the pea gravel down today. I borrowed a friend's tractor and so I'm trying to make that presentable. My daughter is getting married this weekend.
That's what I heard. Congratulations.
And,
what's her name?
Mary Pearl McClellan. She's marrying Mike Horney, a guy from her work, where she works over in Kernersville. She's with the town of Kernersville. She's the recycling specialist.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And the wedding's going to be on Saturday. It's going to be a beautiful outdoor wedding at one of these old South homes that
Fantastic.
They use for weddings and events and so forth.
Well, congratulations to the bride and groom.
Yes. Well, it's absolutely wonderful. We're having a great time. It's going to be tons of fun. My family's coming in from all over the place.
Fantastic.
And all her friends are coming in from all over the place. It's going to be a gas.
I bet. I want to give a quick shout out, too, to Broadway, North Carolina. They're having Broadway Day. They're trying to get an annual thing going by promoting and supporting local talents in the area. That's the town I actually live in at this point, moved from Raleigh. And they're trying to make this an annual thing, and have brought me in as the MC for it. So I have no idea what I'm in for. Trying to get the mayor of Lizard Lake to be one of the judges, and we'll see if he comes through on that.
That ought to be a gas.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I've spoken to the mayor to come back on our show and talk to us about the liquor still or liquor stills, after which Lizard Lick got its name.
Yeah. Well, we did a show once at Lizard Lick. Remember that? Yeah, way long time ago, back in the early days.
It's actually on our archives, one of about 50 at this point.
Well, no, I'm talking about the live show we did at,
oh, that's right,
at Lizard Lick in the town hall.
The Lizard Lick Festival.
At the town hall car dealer,
yes,
a little store combo parking lot.
Slash Andy Griffith, slash...
Yes. Everything was like, they have the town hall is in a little grocery store.
Well, I guess when you're named after, when you're basically a crossroads that's named after a town, that's what you got.
So, but that was pretty cool. You know, it was amazing how many people showed up for that, and it was so much fun.
And it's still very strong, strongly supported.
It was a gas.
Lizard Lick Road. I remember that time that the government or the city put up a new Lizard Lick Road sign, and they spelled lizard with two Z's. So there's the intelligence of the government for
there you go. Well, you know, this spelling is unique, so now they've got their place in history.
I think they were thinking gizzard or something. Who knows?
Whatever.
But in the next few minutes, that phone ought to ring with Clay McClinton.
In fact, it's ringing right
now. It's ringing now.
So let's
see what we have.
You want to talk to...
this could be Clay.
There we go. Hello.
Claudio.
Hey, is this Clay?
Yeah, man. How you doing, brother?
Good morning, buddy. Doing well. Great to hear your voice.
Yeah, man.
So what's been going on? Are you in Texas right now?
I am in Texas. I'm visiting my mom in Fort Worth right now.
How's she doing?
She's doing great.
Good. I know last time we spoke, you were a little concerned about her health.
Well, you know, good days, bad days, but fewer bad days in between, it seems.
Good. So what's happening with you right now? Are you on tour again? I trust you'd pretty much stay on tour.
Well, actually, I'm not. I'm playing, but I'm playing a lot in Texas because I'm working on my third CD. I'm probably going to start recording in June, but I've been playing around Texas a whole lot, just staying close to home.
Well, keeping it where the roots are, huh?
Yeah, for now. But you know, I'm hoping towards mid-year and end of the year, I'll be getting back out there to the further crowds.
What's the name of the new album?
Don't know yet.
Aha. Okay, still a work in progress.
It's usually melody, words, and then
the title. Yeah.
I'm still interested in that collaboration we talked about at some point.
Yeah, man, I just got so many damn things in the fire, but that is definitely always been at the back of my mind. And
good.
Maybe we'll try to turn into something someday.
Well, you know, I know I floated you that the piece I did on Katrina wiping out New Orleans, and if that's one that's of interest to you, keep that in the back of your head.
Yeah. Well, I know that you know, this is an interview for me, but real quick, how you been?
I'm doing well. Can't complain at all.
Well, we've gotten some great emails from you, and we're really happy for your radio show and all that. Seems like it's going well, and I know you're good at it.
Thanks. Appreciate that vote of confidence. It always helps. We're trying to figure out the best way to fly this flying machine. I think we're probably in the next few weeks we're going to try and get more and more inventive with it. But it's been a fun ride. This is John Paul, my co-host. Just wanted to introduce him to you.
Hey, okay. How's it going?
Hey. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great, man. It's good to talk with you.
He's a musician himself, man. And my main backup man for stuff I do on stage right now, not to mention composer, conductor.
Excellent.
Yeah, I've been playing music since I was a little baby. My dad played guitar and sang around the house from the time I was born until I graduated from college.
Can't imagine that being a whole lot different than yours.
Yeah, probably about the same.
No, I know that story.
I don't remember when I started playing guitar. So, you know, I just was always around, and then picked up several other instruments, too, and got my degree in composition and theory with a minor in piano at Jacksonville University.
That's right.
So I'm really...
I haven't gone that far.
Yeah, and I was just mentioning to Claudio a little bit ago how I really liked the Howlin' at the Moon cut for the groove, man. I really liked the way
that
sounds.
That's with you and your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still right with that.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, I really enjoyed that.
Well, let's jump a little bit on your bandwagon here. Give us a little sketch on how you came into being in this business. I mean, sometimes it's very unlikely that the son follows somewhat in the father's footsteps.
Yeah, well, I guess kind of like John, there was just always an instrument laying around, and harmonica. I don't remember learning how to play.
But, this is just part of your breathing, right?
But, you know, it's just kind of like that magnet thing that maybe it's genetics or something, but I just kind of was always drawn to it, and it felt good to do type of thing, you know. It wasn't mm-hmm. something you really thought about or premeditated. It was just kind of like you found yourself doing it all the time. I guess that's
And how old would you say you were? How old would you say you were when that happened? Or when you started noticing instruments?
Well, you know, that's funny. I'm at my mom's right now, and she always has a new picture she's digging up. I guess she's going through that phase. But I have, like, pictures of me. I had this little wagon that I pulled around behind me with all my stuff when I was, like, 3 or 4 years old, and I would always pull it up to the piano and stand in the wagon and play. I don't know if it was the safest thing.
Should be an album cover, man.
I had a picture of me doing that playing piano, so it's kind of one of those things where you don't really remember when you first started.
Puts a whole another take on Little Red Wagon.
What's that?
I said it puts a whole another take on your Little Red Wagon.
Yes.
Pulling it up to the piano. This guy ain't pulling no heavy loads. He's going to the keys.
Yes, that's right.
There you go.
Have you spoken to Curtis, our friend with the American Music Museum, at all of late?
I haven't spoken with Curtis lately. We were on the cruise, of course.
And, I was going to ask you about that,
too. We had a good time. I hung out with him and chatted with him there. But just been busy and trying to step back and sharpen the saw and get this next CD.
I haven't heard about the cruise. What's that about?
That's where I was going next. Do you want to give us a little scoop on that? I think there might be some folks here that would actually be interested in going.
Yeah, well, this is the annual Sandy Beaches Delbert McClinton Blues Cruise. He's been doing it for 15 years now.
A whole ship.
And they're saying that this is possibly the last one this next year.
What?
It's all good things must come to an end.
Who wrote that line? I don't like that line.
But Dad's just, wanting to settle in a little more.
Well, with everybody he's got playing, can't he just sort of kick back a little and let some of the other names take it for a while until he feels like getting back in?
Well, that's what I said. I mean, I was disappointed too, and but I guess he's just wanting to do something different. You know, after a while, you just even if something's great, you just seem like, okay,
years
I need something new now.
That's a while. So, well, what about it becoming the Clay McClinton Cruise?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a possibility, but probably not right away. It would be something that.
So did you like it? I mean, I know I don't know how if you've played on it before or toured before, but I know you did just take a trip.
Yeah, well, I do play on the Blues Cruise, and I'm playing this next year. Hopefully I'll have a CD out to take on there. That's kind of what I'm shooting for.
Right, I can see.
I'm going to start recording in June, and that should give me plenty of time to have it done. Yeah. I usually... And, you know, if I want to go by stats, I usually do a CD in 3 or 4 months. So, but I did want to kind of approach this one a little differently. I'm going to go to Nashville and record at Kevin's place and then bring it back to Austin and finish it here. So it's kind of going to be like a two-stage thing with two different studios. So it ought to be really cool.
Sounds
I kind of want
of...
to see what the Austin thing has to offer. As far as studios and stuff, but at the same time, I love working with Kevin in Nashville, so I'm going to kind of break it up and see what happens.
So you're going to lay down the basic tracks in Nashville, and then do
initial tracks, and then bring it here and mix it and master it, and maybe even do two or three tracks in a different studio here.
Should be an interesting stimuli you get from both places, because the atmosphere would be so totally different.
I've known Dad to do that at two different places, and then you master it all together, and maybe, you know, if you did three songs at a different studio, kind of sporadically put them throughout the CD, and it breaks it up nice, and it gives you an idea of what else is out there,
right?
You know, by not putting all your eggs in one basket and kind of testing the water, so to speak.
I've kind of noticed I've noticed that mix of flavors on the two albums I do have of yours. It's not a one-track mind.
Those were both done at Kevin's studio, which is a great studio called Rock House Studio in Nashville.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Would you like us to start with one of your cuts? I thought I might do the Texas Memory, since it's a song about your life.
Yeah, you bet. You bet.
Do you mind staying online, or do you want to call back? How do you want to play it?
Whatever's clever. I'm here for you.
Yeah, let's keep him on.
We'll keep you online. Yeah. I don't want to eat up your dime, but...
No, you're not eating up my time. I planned for this hour. And
no, I meant your dime, your money, honey.
Phone calls are cheap these days.
Good. Well, let's keep you online. We're going to play... this is called Texas Memory, which is a song about Clay's life. And here we
All
go,
right,
Clay.
All right, here we go. Oops, wrong cut.
That was a song about my life.
There we go.
There's just too much going on in the big city. I just need some place where there's room to breathe.
Clinton with Texas Memory, and this is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, and here's your host, Claudio.
Once again, hey, Clay, man, your music makes me do the seat dance. I'm here moving all kinds of stupid in the studio.
Yeah, it's just, you don't want to see that.
You can't sit still to the Clay McClinton sound. I wasn't asking him to see that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you know, he's got a dance style for the radio.
Uh-huh. So I know this is about the story, sort of inspired by the story of your life. But was there any particular little jog in there that inspired that piece?
Well, missing living in Texas.
No, I could. I got that.
Yeah,
I've been homesick once or twice myself.
I did a lot of traveling, and I loved it, and I still want to do more. But you know, that feeling that you have of just where everything's familiar in your childhood, and even maybe some might say they're ghosts. But
yeah, no, I'm with you.
I just you that's that kind of intensifies when you've been away for a while, and then you go back. So. You know, I figured I'd write a song about it, and it just kind of came together. I had some great musicians working with me on that guitar, that lovely guitar you hear is a good friend of mine I haven't talked to in a while, back in Nashville. Hans Holzen, great guitar player, is now playing with Kerry Rodriguez, who used to play with Chip Taylor. I forgot how great that guitar part was on it. I haven't heard that song in a while. Great.
Yeah, that was a really nice sounding guitar.
You know, the thing about traveling, at least that I've experienced in my life, is first it's wonderful to get away from home, explore all these other places, and then you find yourself having this longing for things you never necessarily thought of while you were back home. And then gradually, as you travel more and more, you find that as much as you love coming back home, you begin to miss some of the little special aspects of the places you've been.
Yeah, it's nice to get away. Yeah. That contrast thing.
It does.
Can't have the rainbow without the rain, I guess.
That's it. I think Jimmy Buffett wrote a tune about that, but this is not the Jimmy Buffett interview. So, I was wondering if there was any particular anything other than homesickness that inspired that piece.
Well, I just wanted to do a slow song, but I didn't want to do it over heartache. So I kind of racked my brain on what would be a nice melancholy song without. The same old heartache, which, you know, that's great too. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to go a different route, and that's kind of what I came up with.
How would you describe the spirit of your music overall? Not that I want to peg you in any kind of a pigeonhole there, but my view on it was that it was sort of a combination of honky tonk, folk, and rock. I don't know if I'm off the beaten path there as far as how you perceive it.
Yeah, you know, I'm always asking myself that question. I call it random like life.
Hey. That's a whole new music format for you.
Whatever comes out, whatever inspires me. Sometimes I'll do a jazzy feel with a country bass line, or I'll do a bluesy feel that has a hinge of country in it, or whatever. But I don't know. That's always been a tough question.
No one thing.
People ask me how to categorize the music, and I just kind of do it. What I hear and comes out of me.
Yeah, I hear that jazz element in there and the blues element combination, and I think it's probably better if you can't really characterize it. You know.
Yeah. Well, nowadays, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's eclectic. There we go.
Yeah.
There you go.
It is indeed.
No, it's. I've definitely fallen in love with it.
Roots. Roots music.
Roots. There you go. Americana, they're calling it nowadays. That has a lot of stuff in the blender.
That is. That's true.
There we go. Yeah. The blender. Blender music.
Now, are you in Austin?
Where, I am in Austin.
Yeah, Austin is the place for blending too. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, it's a melting pot for sure. Yeah. You've got all kinds of stuff.
What kind of a melting pot? Since I don't really know much about Austin.
Wide variety of music. You could probably go out and hear authentic Indian music any day of the week.
Oh, wow.
If you want to. That's just an extreme example, but, you know, there's just so much talent, and the joke is no one's from Austin.
Right, that's right.
So you just got all different kind of cultures coming here to do their thing, and then when they collaborate, it can make something really cool. A new sound, which we're always striving for. Something new, but also familiar.
I understand. That's actually something I'm hoping that we can pull off with a number or two at some point in the future.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be
see
pretty.
See how the spoken word collaboration goes to your singing.
I can't wait to hear what happens with the Claudio and Clay combo.
There you go.
That's well, going to be cool.
I'll go for
be
Clay and Claudio. You don't have to put my name first.
Okay, go
one.
For Clay and Claudio, but right. I think that's going to be interesting when that happens.
I think it'll be fun.
He knows how to write those words down, that's for sure.
Thank you. And did I ever send you a copy of Mud in Your Eye? The piece about
New Orleans? I do believe I have a copy.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I just want to make sure I did. It's been a while. So you haven't spoken to Curtis Ingram at all in some time. I think he's back to work again for a while. He usually disappears off the map when that happens.
Yeah, I guess he's keeping busy. You know, doing his thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering what's going on with that music museum. I think I know that he's interested in keeping this particular interview as an archive for the music museum. So you're going to be on the rack at some point.
Well, he's been very nice to us, and when we traveled through, he put our band up, and his house is a museum.
Which is kind of how you and I met.
Yes, and man, you can walk around that place, and
it's like a small mansion.
Oh, you could just look at history forever on his walls.
Yeah, I got to get down there sometime and meet Curtis. I've been hearing a lot about him.
We still get raves about the radio. When he came here to be on the radio show, it's still touted as one of people's favorite radio shows. It's amazing. I think his bass voice just absolutely dwarfed mine in the studio. His voice was bouncing off the walls in here.
Oh, he has a monstrous
monster voice.
Yo,
all right,
he does. So, hey, what do you think about us playing another tune? And the one I had selected, and I hope you approve of this, is The Man I Wanna Be, which seems to be an audience favorite, I think. I'm trying to season the folks out here a little bit. My plan is to see if we can't get you to come to Chapel Hill and Carborough and the Durham area at some point.
Yeah, you bet. That sounds good.
I'm going to try and play some of these, even when I don't have you on. So this is The Man I Wanna Be by Clay McClinton. Here we go.
Summer burned and summer blessed, and nothing stains like second best. But would you trade a winner's draw to know just what you came here for? The notion of a simple plan lights the flame in every man. The fire may run deep inside, but sometimes wishes can collide. Crash and burn along the way. you were inclined to take back what you left behind. Could you overcome your breaks?
And that was the one and only Clay McClinton giving you his tune, The Man I Wanna Be. An audience favorite out there.
Wow, what an ending.
Yeah, did that plane ever land?
That was psychedelic, man.
Yeah, that was accidental, and we were like, hey, that's kind of cool.
That was cool.
That's what you get for recording at the airport, right?
Yeah, right.
Sounded like one of those big battle axes was trying to land.
Yeah. Or take off.
That's right. You can't tell the difference on those. This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else to anyone just tuning in. And we have Clay McClinton. And if you don't mind me saying so, the son of Dalbert McClinton on the radio with us today, a call in from Texas. We're very honored to have you on, bud. And please consider yourself part of the Speakeasy family at this point. You don't ever get to leave anymore.
It's an honor to be here. Thanks, Claudio.
A real pleasure. I know John Paul had a question of some of your instrumentation, but before I let him go to that, I want to ask, I know that when you moved from Nashville to Texas, that you lost some of the members of your band. Can you tell me who's in the band now?
Well, I'm kind of juggling musicians right now. I have a great drummer that's just started playing with me some, actually a female drummer. Her name is Nina Singh. And she plays with a band, Canadian band. She's actually Canadian, but living in Austin, called Grady, which is a great band. If y'all haven't heard of, you can Google that.
Look that up, okay.
I'm playing with a piano player named Nick Letursky, young up and coming piano player in Austin.
Whatever happened to, if you don't mind me asking, to the musician of yours that I became buddies with when we met, the piano player from South Africa?
Andrew Bett is actually from London originally.
London, that's right. But he'd spent time in South Africa.
And Jim Evans, good friend of mine still. Actually just went back to Nashville to visit and saw both of them, and
great,
they're doing
guys.
Well, doing some studio work and playing with various bands around town. They seem to be doing great. We still keep in contact.
Please give them my regards, and of course also hello to Brandy.
And Brandy's doing well. She's actually in the kitchen right now.
Got her cooking.
Everybody's doing well. You know,
fantastic.
I miss those guys. I just couldn't get them to come to Austin with me. I actually asked them. But, everybody has their roots tied in.
Exactly.
And I think Andrew has a couple of horses, and so I understood. But we keep in contact, and who knows what the future brings, you know? Maybe we'll play together sometime.
Absolutely. So. And I'm going to let John Paul ask you some of the questions he had about instrumentation.
Just generally, I was wondering what on your upcoming album, what kind of direction you're going to take, what kind of instrumentation, is it all going to be originals? Are you looking for songs from other people? What's the story on that?
It is going to all be originals. I've done a lot of writing on this next CD by myself, On my first two albums, I have, you know, a lot of the songs are co-written. I do have some I wrote by myself on those first two, but this one's going to be a lot of solo compositions, and I did co-write one that I'm really excited about called Just My Baby and Me. I co-wrote that with Bruce Chanel, the famous writer, Hey, Hey, Baby.
Yeah.
Good friend of mine I grew up with. Well, a friend of my dad's that I grew up with.
Yeah.
More like a godfather or something for me.
Right, right. Yeah, well, that's a real famous name and famous song. All
definitely.
Right. That ought to be an interesting tune.
Yeah, it's I'm excited about it. It's a real, really well lit song, I think.
Are you just
kind of came out of this in one day? So.
Oh, fantastic! I was going to say, are you just sort of letting this the inspiration gather as it comes, or are you actually sitting down and doing some hardcore discipline here as well?
Well, a little bit of both.
Yeah,
but definitely, I work mainly from inspiration. I think that's more. You know, when you make a CD, it's forever, and you want to be true, and you don't want to be rushed or stricken. You know,
I don't know.
Just the best way I work is when it flows out of me. That's when the best stuff comes out.
Yeah, that's when it's unforced and just comes out,
not beaten or pummeled to death.
Yeah,
I've never been one to pal up river too much. So.
Yeah, you can't force a good thought.
So, as far as the instrumentation, what are you looking at for, you know?
Pretty basic. I'm gonna you know, drums, piano, bass, and maybe have some fiddle on there, and of course guitar,
and harmonica,
and some harmonica I'm gonna put on there. You know, kind of what I've been doing. You know, I'm not straying too far. Actually, I might have a few songs on there that are just guitar and harmonica. So I might have a couple of songs that are kind of just broken down.
That's interesting. The old kind of John Prine, Bob Dylan genre.
I think there's probably some vestiges of those great influences.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that was my early impression of you that night I met you in Thomasville. I just finished performing Casey at the Bat at a baseball club somewhere, and then he came to bring me over to your show. And I have to say that your image, my first impression was very Dylan-esque.
Yeah, well, he's definitely someone that I've studied and admired.
Yeah, he's always been one of my favorite writers.
He's a great lyricist, definitely.
He's amazing. You know, he's just, I don't know where he's at in his head, but it's pretty.
Well, I
don't think he does.
I started singing his songs when I was about 15. I played in a. And Tony's Pizza King in Jacksonville Beach, Florida. When I was 15, I started playing out there, and I did Dylan songs. And man, people loved them too. I didn't do them like Dylan does them, of course. Nobody can.
I don't think Dylan does. He doesn't do them like Dylan does.
And
well, he doesn't have to try. Category of his own. So
that's it. Definitely. We've got one of the joys of my life is coming up here in mid-May, May the 18th. I'm stage managing Arlo Guthrie
at
the Carolina Theater. I'm hoping I can get him to say a few words and maybe do a call-in.
That's why we call Claudio stage manager to the stars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go.
Need all the plugs I can get. Want to make a living at this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now... I was just thinking of something that we kind of just mentioned in passing, the harmonica. Isn't there some kind of history with the harmonica and some other people who...
I think we're floating over to Dad here.
Is that Dad's history?
Well, yeah, Dad, definitely, you know.
We're actually getting ready to play that tune that you wrote with him called Howling at the Moon, but I have a curiosity, and if you'll forgive me for asking, because I imagine that you've been asked this before.
Oh, it's part of the stick. It's all right.
Oh, good. what is the real story about him and John Lennon and him teaching Lennon harmonica?
I'll tell you, you know, grapevines seem to, you know, sometimes...
vibrate.
Know, get carried away with their own story.
Absolutely. That's why I wanted to hear it from, I don't want to say the horse's mouth, because you ain't that horse.
Well, he was basically over there with Bruce Chanel, that I was talking about earlier.
Yes.
When Hey Baby came out, they asked him to come over to London and open up for the Beatles. Or actually, no, I'm sorry, the Beatles opened up for them.
Oh, wow.
Because Hey Hey Baby was a huge hit over there,
yeah.
And the Beatles were just kind of get going. They were big over there, but they weren't big worldwide
yet. Right.
I think this was before Ringo Starr. Wow. What was his name?
So Pete Best was with the...
Yes, yeah. Pete Best. So they went over there and, were doing some shows together and we're in a hotel, and John just asked if my dad... come up and show them a few licks on the harmonica. And they just sat around and chatted, and my dad showed them a few licks.
And I think those licks wound up in Love Me Do, right?
He taught John how to play harmonica. But I guess to an extent, my dad taught me a few licks on harmonica, and then after you learn a few licks, you kind of just add to it. It's like a big puzzle,
It gives you a sense of direction.
You add to it, so... Yeah. In a sense, I'm sure, he taught John some things, but I don't think he taught him how to play necessarily.
No, I understand. He just sort of
sat down with him and taught him some licks, and that was
And that was his foundation for getting going on it.
He initiated him to the instrument.
John Lennon, come on.
Yeah, yeah, right. He didn't need much of a push, I guess.
And I couldn't help but wonder if it was the tune Love Me Do that was influenced by that.
Yeah, well, I've heard that.
You can hear it in the tune. You can hear that in that harmonica.
Yeah.
You can hear that style that is that Hey Baby style.
Almost absolutely.
Like it was, yeah, absolutely.
Almost like it was written for the instrument. But how do you feel about us going to Howlin' at the Moon, which you wrote with your dad, Delbert McClinton?
I can't wait.
All right, here we go. We're going to Howling at the Moon.
All right, here we go.
Clay and Delbert.
Trying not to lose my cool.
This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else.
And that was Clay and Delbert McClinton in Howling at the Moon. You want to tell us what that howl was all about, baby? Because that was one fine piece
I
of music.
Love that cut.
Well, you know, when you get broken hearted, you got to pick yourself back up. Sometimes the best way to do that is go out and get it out of you.
I could sense the clothes hangers.
That was very good. I enjoyed that one.
Awesome piece. What inspired you and your dad to get together on a piece?
Well,
who was picking who up? Should I ask?
What happens? we haven't got together to do a song for this next one. I don't know if we will or not. It's just kind of a convenience thing. Mm-hmm. I've been just trying to get them together with what I got so far. I got about a little more than half the songs ready to go, but I might go down to Nashville and if those last three songs I just can't get together the way I want.
Yeah, right.
If not, maybe I'll take a piece to Dad. And
hey, Dad.
Say, hey, help me finish this.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, if there's ever a chance of getting him to call in on the speakeasy, I'd love to have a chat with him. But
I'm sure he would. Yeah, he does phone interviews all the time.
I know that Curtis would definitely like that for his files at the museum.
Oh yeah.
So something to keep in mind.
I can definitely chat with him about your radio station, and we could try to make that happen.
Wonderful. And I wanted to mention too that we've had some difficulty here at the studio as far as the archiving goes. It may take a day or two before we have that up. John Paul thinks he may be able to work it and have this particular show archived today, but we're not absolutely positive about that.
We've had computer issues here at the studio, so it's been a little bit of a problem.
We will have it saved. The question of getting it up on the archive may take a day or two.
Yeah, or maybe I'll get it up today. We'll see.
Cool.
Just wanted to forewarn you because I've sort of been embarrassed. A couple of weeks ago, we had Jamie Foxx on, who now plays with Jen Chapin, the daughter of Harry Chapin. And he used to play with Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And we promised him an archive, and he still hasn't gotten on the archives. I'm about to send him a CD. Hopefully, we can get his archive up today as well.
Well, excellent.
Somebody really disadvantaged us here a while back, and we haven't been able to archive anything for about 2 weeks.
I don't know.
Yeah, but we'll catch up. We'll catch up pretty soon.
So,
this technology, is our—it's great when it works.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, and of course, anybody who is on the web can listen to us live.
Exactly, live streaming.
Streaming live right now on the web. So
we've actually received calls from both Germany and India, and I asked these folks, "When were you listening?" They said, "No, silly archives."
Well, actually, I had some people who were listening. I had some people who were listening in Bangalore, listening live.
Bangalore,
yeah,
Maine?
Yeah, and there's people I know in Raleigh who listen on the web live.
Where's Bangalore? Wow. You talking about Bangor, Maine, or?
Bangalore, India.
India, okay.
Yes.
Didn't know they had something similar in India.
Oh my goodness, that's where they listen to music live over there.
Yes.
The Indian peoples.
This is the local DJ in India.
All that thing.
Well, hello, India.
Yes. So anyway, back to you. So what's happening as we speak, what gigs are you performing anywhere, or are you just sort of taking a little hiatus?
Well, no, I'm actually performing. We just did a Green Hall show, which went really good. And
what is that, Green Hall?
Next Sunday we're playing there again, and then
is that a local?
I'm sorry.
Tell us what that is, the Green Hall.
Next Sunday we're doing Luckenbach.
Luckenbach.
And then, which is a
Luckenbach,
small
Texas.
Town
I remember
Texas.
That too.
You've heard the song, Luckenbach,
yes.
Texas.
Yeah.
And then April 29th, we're playing back at Green Hall, open up for Patty Griffin, which will be very exciting.
Nice. Oh, yeah, nice. And where is Green Hall?
It's in New Braunfels, Texas, right down by the river there.
Okay, neat. Okay.
I know I've
beautiful
heard of it
area.
Before, but I don't know a thing about it.
Yep.
So it sounds like you're staying pretty busy. How often, how many nights a week do you do this?
Well, I'm actually not doing as much as I was. We're doing a couple days a week, weekends mainly right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just concentrating on putting the material together and getting ready for the studio. And
anything that steers you in this direction on down the pike?
Yes, we are hoping to get there sometime this year. I don't know when, but the North Carolina's treated us so good, and I'm constantly having fans from there ask me when I'm coming back. So we're trying to make it out that way. I would just love to have a new CD to take out there with me. So,
where did you play here in Carolina before?
Oh, geez.
Well, I met him in Thomasville, so he was jamming.
Well, I mean, what venues?
I think Charlotte was one.
I'd have to look on my calendar. they all blend together after a while. We're doing six nights a week, so it just kind of, they all turn into one gig.
Well, what I meant was, like, are you talking about clubs, concert halls, universities, all of that?
Whatever, wherever they want us. We've done festivals there. We've done lots of clubs. We've done private parties. You know, we'd love to get on a festival route.
You know, the big place here in Chapel Hill that everybody plays at is the Cat's Cradle.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Cat's Cradle, yeah, I've heard of that place.
Yeah, and I mean, that might be a good place to play. I don't know.
One of our supporters here at the radio station, WCOM.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. We play wherever, you know. Nothing's too big or small. If the people are there and they want us there, then, you know, we try to make it out that way.
Well, I'm sure they'd pack in at Cat's Cradle if you went there.
I would think
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
I'm still pushing it at the Carolina Theater. Right now they've got so many different acts happening there that I'm waiting for something to give to see if I can't suggest them bringing you in.
Oh, that'd be great. But, you know. We're you know, like I said, we're going to try to get in the studio in June. So, you know, mid-year, towards the end of the year, we're going to try to get out there to the further crowds.
Good. Well, let me know anytime you're anywhere close by so we can hang out.
Absolutely.
Is there a particular tune you might like us to play that we haven't picked out of what I've got?
Maybe something upbeat. Let's see.
Off what album?
Another song that Dad and I co-wrote, which is kind of a funky song, is Starting to Itch. About that girl that you're scared of. And
number six.
Getting under your skin there.
Oops. There we go. Number six. This is Starting to Itch. And I ain't going to scratch. Here we go.
We won't be scratching, though.
We're about to have it on.
Let's see. Number six. All right. Let's roll with number six.
Clay McClinton, Starting to Itch with his dad. Right, Delbert?
That's it.
She's got me doing things I wouldn't ordinarily do. Itch and I think she's getting under my skin. It was a chain of events over which I had no control. I got swept away, caught up in the undertow. This risky business is a dangerous trend. Now I'm starting to itch and I think she's getting under my skin. Sometimes I feel like I've been eaten alive. I've got to give in if I'm gonna survive.
This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else. And now here's that venerable veteran of verbiage, Claudio.
Mm-hmm. And that was starting to itch, and I have scratched since. So,
yeah.
So back to you, Clay. Looks like we're going to bring the show to a wrap here in a few minutes. But anything you want to say on the way out? Give people your website, any kind of contact information, because something tells me there are going to be some excited people here.
ClayMcClinton.com. You can check out all the tour dates and come out and see us.
I definitely plan to do that myself.
ClayMcClinton.com.
That's it.
That's it. Sign up on the mail list. We'll let you know when we're in the neighborhood.
And in case you folks forget the ClayMcClinton.com, not that you should or would, but you can always go to ClaudioArts.com and contact me to find out anything you might have questions about, and I will put you in touch.
There you go.
Clay, listen, when I say it's been absolutely great having you on, and I hope we do this again, definitely when you come out with your new release.
Yes. Well, so, I sure appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again.
Likewise here, and hopefully doing some collaborations in the not-too-distant future.
I'm always open.
One more question. What song of yours would you like us to take out on? What we're going to do is we're going to sign out with our usual piece, a piece that John Paul and I performed together called Adrift, which is a bit maritime, but we thought we'd throw in one more in the space between this show and the next.
Let's do One of Those Guys. I wrote that with a good friend of mine in Nashville by the name of Dave Duncan.
One of Those Guys. Let's try and find that.
One of Those Guys. I see it. It's on the other CD. Yeah, we'll do that.
In the meantime, thank you for being on the Speakeasy. And like I said, consider yourself part of the Speakeasy family. Give my love to Brandy and everyone who knows me and some who don't. And talk to you soon, man.
Well, nice chatting with you guys. Thanks, John. Thanks, Claudia. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
all the best.
Buddy.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
And this is?
This is going to be Adrift.
Adrift. This is our exit, and then right after that, we're going to come on with another Clay McClinton. So anyway, everyone listening out there, we had Clay McClinton on, son of Delbert McClinton. They did some jams together. Those were two of the albums of his albums that we played, and he's coming up with a new one, and we will have him on again when that comes out. This is Claudio at the Speakeasy signing off. Cheers.
Once again, a chill night wind blows its gales across the sea. As the sunset casts an inflamed and rippled hue across the waters. Vast distances of liquid motion stretch their infinity before me, and I have rarely felt so free. The sails are drawn for a night of rest. Where I go from here, the sea knows best. As the veils of night descend upon me, the moon emits its silvery canvas against a spectacle of aquatic celebration, as is only seen by night. The stars are scattered worlds of light against an opaque sky, and the nightfall is a constant whisper of the mysteries around me. Truly, all description would defy the beauty I choose herein to proclaim. Yet still, though encompassed by more wonder than many a man has e'er freed his soul to admire, my thoughts are adrift with a song of my heart, and the song of my heart with a voice of my soul. Adrift, 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 drifting ever back to you.